Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. It's the morning shift. 404-726-0929. It is time for the wake-up call. I want to hear from you guys, questions, comments, concerns about the Atlanta Falcons training camp and some of the news coming off the weekend. My name is Mike Johnson. That's Allie Mack. She's fresh off a trip to Las Vegas. She says she saw her husband last night for about 20 minutes. And in those 20 minutes, but you're going to find this shocking. He wanted to play her Dave Parker's induction speech just in those 20 minutes. He was like, I know you want to go to bed and you're exhausted and you have to work in the morning, but can I play this Dave Parker induction speech for you?
Wait, is that a true story?
It's a true story.
I think that's hilarious.
Grant's like, dude, I know I haven't seen you and I love you and here's a kiss, but also Dave Parker's induction
speech. But we were talking about this. Dang, these off-air conversations are dangerous.
I couldn't let it go any further. I was like, that's such a Grant thing.
You can't trust Mike, for one. I'm Bo Morgan, by the way. I didn't get an introduction, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting to me with Grant that that's the one he went to. That's the one he wanted to play for you, not, you know, Billy Wagner or...
But it was the forethought, because he was explaining how there was a poem because he passed away, so he left it for his son to read. And then I was like, oh, that's nice. He's like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's kind of funny and a little bit snarky. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I can play it for you. And I was like, is it actually a minute, like 60 seconds, or is it like
20?
Right. Is it a minute? Because I want to go to bed.
It's funny. Well, you know, he clearly missed you. He had a lot. he had a lot to get to.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. If you guys want to call in, we do got a couple lines open right now. I want to hear your comments, concerns, questions about the James Pierce fights yesterday. Do you like the Falcons fighting? Do you think it's a little bit over the top? Do you want more fights? Do you want to see like an absolute Donnybrook every day at practice? What do you think about the crowds out there in Flowery Branch as well, man? The Hill has been slammed. Arthur Blank on Saturday said maybe close to 5,000 people. I don't know, Dylan. I thought it was every bit of it, though. There was a steady stream of people walking in the gates yesterday.
And a steady stream of people, even, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, a steady stream of people even after practice started. Like, there were still people,
yes,
I felt like, coming in.
Yeah.
And that hill was every bit of full, all the way down the hill as well, too. It was a great crowd.
Yeah. Love to hear about it. Before we get to the phone lines, too.
I do know my family's coming out tomorrow. My sister, who went with me to Vegas over the weekend, her husband got the tickets for tomorrow's Atlanta Falcons training camp. So they'll be out there on that hill cheering everyone on. I'm excited.
And it should be said, guys, if you go to AtlantaFalcons.com. You have to – they're free.
Yeah.
But you have to go snag them because it was a sellout Sunday, Saturday, and the first day, Thursday. So go on to AtlantaFalcons.com and snag them. They're free, but you just got to download them so you can get in the gate. And I told y'all, get there early.
Yeah.
You want to see, get there early, get through the line quick, and you get a seat.
And just to add to Bo's point about the urgency of getting the tickets, I had a couple people text me and was like, hey, is there any way you can get me? And I was like, there's nothing I can do for you, brother. They were like, I was a little late getting the tickets. I was like, nah,
that's,
man.
So far out of my jurisdiction.
Unfortunately, I cannot do anything for you. So make sure you go get them ASAP.
I've had those feelings before, too. It's like, I realize that I will be there, but that doesn't mean I can do anything in your lane.
Exactly.
Like, that's just not going to be a thing. I get those questions about Bama all the time. They're like, hey, can you give me Bama tickets? I'm like, I can get you a ticket to go with me, but if I'm not going to be with you, then no. Like, you know what I mean?
This might be, you know, just a disgruntled radio personality thing that I do, but when someone asks me for tickets, I'll send them the Ticketmaster link.
Oh, wow.
Petty Alley coming out.
I know.
Wow.
Like, look, there's so many left.
No.
Dang, that's so petty.
I know.
Wow, good for you, though. I like it.
I've been doing it a while.
People do think because you work at a radio station, you like, there's like a ticket closet, and you just walk in, you're like, oh, I'm going to grab two.
And hey,
that
pluck
person,
those off the shelf.
Go four to that person. It's
not to mention they're free.
I mean, it is. There is some ridiculousness that comes with it. It's like, I mean, because Allie was she used to work at Star 94, who was one of our sister stations, so to speak. And then she's like, hey, I heard Metallica's playing. Can you get me some tickets? Like, yeah, because we're giving those away.
Right.
And they're not desired at all either. So I'm sure I can just snag, you know, what do you mean?
No big deal.
You want eight? What? How many do you want?
Backstage passes too?
You want backstage to, I don't know, the Eagles?
Want to hang out with them on their tour bus? But, like, I can do that.
But see, out here, it's like, hey, man, you know, like LeBron's coming to town, so I'm going to need like four. Oh, okay, well, I'll get right on that. No one wants to go see the Lakers and LeBron come to town. You're right.
Yeah.
Let's jump right on on that.
Yeah. Now, if you want, yeah, if you wanted to go see the Week 17 matchup with the Panthers coming in town last year, I could have probably done something
different
for you.
Different story.
It is funny, man. 404-726-0929. Or if you don't want to call in and have your voice played out over there, you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the X, and we'll get your comments on the air. But, yeah, man, it was a great day, obviously, out at Falcons training camp over the weekend. I got a chance. Dylan and I got to hang out yesterday. And, of course, a lot of people out there, on Saturday as well. So let's go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our good buddy Ja over in Cobb County. Ja, hope you're having a good Monday morning, man. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning, family. I'm just very intrigued to know how that dynamic is at practice. I mean, I played football into high school, but how does that feel, from the teammates when you guys are, getting into little scuffles and stuff like that? And also, I've been seeing reports of Rook causing a little havoc, so I think that's a good sign for our defense.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. I will say this about – let me start with Rook. If a guy without pads on really wants to go there up front, especially if they are running the style of defense we've been talking about, the Jeff Ulbrich, and I kind of explained this to Dylan in a way yesterday where you're in a 3-4 style, you're kind of building a wall, you're not trying to really penetrate and get in the backfield. You're in a 4-3 style. Historically, that's like I'm going to rip the gap and try to get in the backfield and try to get TFLs and things like that. Rook should fit that, and I think that's exactly what we've been seeing at practice so far is Rook ripping into the backfield through the B gap, through the A gap, or whatever it is. That will be answered a lot of times by getting your head across the guy's chest, per se, not to go too deep into blocking technique. But you can't really do that right now because you don't have pads on. So we'll see how that kind of pans out over the next few days, but that's just kind of where Rook's at. As far as the inside the locker room thing when it comes to the fights, I've heard people that, hey, it's not a big deal. They hash it out, and they're good just 2 minutes later. A lot of times, I just didn't hang out with D-linemen. You know what I mean? As weird as that might sound, it's like, yes, we're all in the same locker room, but it's not like I'm going to go over, I don't think Caleb McGarry and James Pierce Jr. are going to spend a lot of time in the cold tub together playing on the boombox. You know what I mean? It's just, they probably just didn't talk for a while and probably still haven't talked and probably won't talk. Now, there'll be a moment 2-3 weeks from now where it's like, oh, that was funny. But I don't think it's going to be like a dap and be like, oh, my bad, man.
Not even at training camp when they're living together.
Nah, because
everyone's
you're living
Xbox
with a lineman.
And,
you're living with other old linemen. It's just
you
not,
live with your kind.
Yeah.
I mean, defensive linemen with defensive linemen. Edge players with edge players. Yeah. You heard Drake London when you asked him, Allie, about the living situation. I think it was me.
It was definitely
it was me.
But and he was like, I'm living with Darnell and I think Kadarrell
and
Ray.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, what do those people have in common? They're all wide receivers. Okay, so
top four wide receivers.
So yeah, so they're not interacting like people think. And now, I think when you're in the locker room, the position groups were next to each other
a lot more than they are.
Now
probably
at one point, I don't know how it is now, but at one point, I think it was Dan Quinn that came in and was like, "All right, I want."
Yeah, we used to have D block.
Yeah, but when Dan came in, I think he was like, well, Matt Ryan is going to have his locker next to John, who would have been there, Vic Beasley or somebody, right?
John O'Neill or whatever.
Yeah, and they really separated. But a lot of these guys, to Mike's point, D-Block was the linebackers, right? And that was their...
And you're also, too, and we're going to get back to the phone lines. You're also to the point right now in training camp where everybody's probably getting out of meetings at different times. It's up to your position coach to be like, all right, we're done for the night, go home, which happens a lot earlier now than it used to. But it's like, okay, so I'm going to go get my smoothie and walk across the field and go back to my dorm. Might not even see anybody else. Maybe they're in the meeting 10 minutes longer. Maybe they were out of the meeting 10 minutes ago. So I don't know. Eventually it'll get hashed out. I'm not trying to say these guys are going to hate each other forever. It's just not a thing. It just goes away. And then you're you get a little bit mad the next day and you go 1-on-1 and it's kind of over with. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you throw hands again. Let's go back to the phone line, Dylan. Let's talk to our buddy Randy over in Covington. Randy, hope you're having a good Monday, man. What's going on?
Yes, sir. What's up, guys? What's How y'all doing, man? Missing every day, man.
I appreciate that.
Kind of two parts. I think it's a good thing that we got them scuffles at practice, man. It gives our defense a little attitude, man. A lot of people probably say that, but yeah, man, we need some type of attitude on our defense now, man. And yeah. I feel like that brings it.
Yeah.
And a question for you, Mike. So, hey, look, when you're talking about the living situations, right?
Yeah.
And you're a fringe player, you probably won't make the team. Do they put you in a different dorm room? Like, and you know what I mean? Give you one pillow or something like that?
Okay.
You know, that's all I got for you, though, guys.
I appreciate the phone call. I don't think he's right about – I think the word he's trying to use as far as James Pierce and the fighting goes, like setting the tone, mm-hmm. like tone setting, like the intensity-wise. If you're fighting, the intensity is a little bit higher. I mean, that's kind of how I've always seen it. And but you got to continue to carry that. It can't be, hey, we ran out of gas 2 days later because we were fighting and things like that. But they do a better job now than they ever have of giving guys rest days, rest time during the day at training camp. So it kind of is what it is.
And sometimes that fighting stuff, from what I've heard from stories and just seen out there, is guys feeling that some are going too hard and doing too much.
Sure.
And like that little thing between what we saw Thursday was with the little conversation between Storm and James Pierce Jr. But like James Pierce Jr. was calling Storm Norton out for maybe not going hard enough.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, and then guys will react to it, right?
Sure.
Like, and it's going past a whistle sometimes, and it's, or it's just getting beaten, your ego stepping in.
Yeah. And to answer your question, Randy, about the kind of the living situation in terms of guys that are kind of fringe players, or like most of the people you live with are in a very similar situation to you. And that's even outside of your position group. I mean, I lived my rookie year, during training camp and everything, I lived with Colin Peake, who was a tight end, but he was from Alabama, was an undrafted free agent. Joe Hawley was in that room as well. And then Ryan, I can't remember his name, he was a wide receiver that also went to college with Joe Hawley at UNLV. And so we were all kind of in the same situation where Joe and I had been draft picks, but the other two guys we went to college with that were not part of that. And you're just all rookies kind of being in the same thing. So to Allie's question the other day about Drake London, the top four wide receivers in the room with one another, all veteran players at this point, all guys that you're going to depend on this year's football team. And then maybe you have a next four group of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You're David Sills, Nick Nash, you're Chris Blair, you're Drummond or whoever it may be out there that are probably living together that are in the same situation. Doesn't always have to be the same position, though. Like, I think Matt Ryan, Christopher Edmund lived with maybe Tony Gonzalez and Matt Bryant. Like, they were going to be there. You know what I mean? Like those guys weren't going anywhere. So kind of is what it is. But, yeah, man, those are long days. You better make sure everybody's on the same page in those dorm rooms. No doubt about it.
Well, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up, got a few training camp days in now. We've been talking about the intensity of Falcons training camp, but what are some of the other takeaways that we are seeing? That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan and Dylan playing some country for us today. I do want to say welcome back to all the teachers that are heading back to school. I know it gets earlier and earlier each year. My sister, fresh off a Vegas trip, is going to school today.
God bless her.
I know.
God bless her.
I know. Good for her.
Yeah, my wife's headed back. She's not a teacher. She's a counselor, but she's headed back to work today as well. And everybody kind of experiencing those same back-to-school blues. Teachers just get a little bit earlier than the students, but they're building that direction, that's for sure.
So. I feel like teachers and kids going back to school is like the ultimate Sunday scaries of all time.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say, and not to get too far off topic, but in Cobb County, where my wife works, they have the two-month summer because they get a week off after every 6 weeks.
Okay.
Like, I wish we had had that. Our summer was like 3 months long when I was in high school, but we didn't get the fall break, Thanksgiving break. Mm-hmm. The Christmas break, the winter break, the spring break. Like, they get a break, a one-week break every 6 weeks.
Tell me how y'all feel about this. This is how one of my other nephews, not the one I was babysitting yesterday, but one of my other ones, he's older. He's going to turn 10 in October. So his school, they do 9 weeks off. I mean, excuse me, 9 weeks in school, 3 weeks off of school. And they do that basically year-round. They do get a little bit.
Through 3 weeks off after 9 weeks?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
But that's year-round school.
But they basically do year-round. Well, they get a little bit of a break during summer. They get a little bit of an extended break. But they go back, obviously, early. Like, he's already back in school now. Like, and he's been back in school for, like, a week or two.
No, when it's 100 degrees outside, I don't need to be standing at the bus stop. Sorry.
Nah,
That's the way I grew up. That's the way I like it. That was my childhood. But I didn't get this 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on stuff, or whatever they do now. Like, there's a break for every season plus.
Yeah, 6 weeks on, 1 week off.
I need to contrast and compare something real quick. You had an issue with Terry Bradshaw. earlier talking about the old school ways of things happening and his criticism of Aaron Rodgers and how he does things today. Does that not sound a little bit like what's happening
but
right
now? I didn't tell the kids nowadays to go eat bark. I mean, Terry Bradshaw, like...
That's true. That's
like,
true.
He went on a rant about Aaron Rodgers, and it was just... And I'm a big Terry Bradshaw fan, but I was just thinking, why are you acting so bitter towards a guy? Like, you know he's... Like, you've been doing this for too long. You know the writing on the wall. He's going to sign there. Why are you coming with this angst towards him? I'm not like, kids today are so soft. They can't go 6 weeks without having to have a week off. I didn't go there. I mean,
say something like that about the we, but I won't strike that conversation.
You mean the
up.
They? No,
no, no. I'm talking about the actual WII.
Oh,
the Wii.
What did you say Nintendo about the Wii? Well, I think it's. I don't know what I said. I said it's not exercise.
Don't be talking about. Oh yeah, you did say that. Yeah, talking bad about
regardless.
The Wii for no reason.
Just get outside and play baseball.
You ain't never played Wii boxing, Bo.
Regardless, welcome back to all the teachers and all the students that are going back to school. We are in the middle of training camp, Falcons training camp. It was day 4, happened yesterday. Of course, 92.9 The Game was out there. Mike and Dylan did a show. Sounded really great. I listened this morning.
Thank you.
If you ever miss anything on the show or on the station like Mike and Dylan's show, you can catch up with it on the Odyssey app. Today, we've been talking about the intensity of the defense that's been going on at training camp. Terry Fontenot talked about the defense in his presser yesterday and how they're showing turnover ability.
You know, Raheem said this in the team meeting that we understand that after every practice, somebody's going to be frustrated because the way practice goes is if the defense is really successful in that practice, then the offense wasn't successful and vice versa. So yesterday's practice was an example of the way they were on the ball. Mike Hughes had 2 punch outs, and I mean legit punch outs, the way he went after the ball, one where he's squaring him up, one where he's selling his body out, just the way it's being taught. And so when you have that, and so now you can praise the defense for being able to get after the ball and take it away and punch it out, and then you're getting on the offense to continue to work on ball security. And those ball security drills that we do, them taking those serious and making sure we're enhancing that. So.
And that's the problem with training camp, because you can't get happy about one side doing something good without getting worried about the other side not being good. And then you doubt it. Well, are they really good at creating turnovers, or do we just suck at ball control and ball security? But it's not the truth. You know, that's something that they are addressing. That is one thing that's a very similar thing to what Dan Quinn wanted to do in his defense and what Jeff Ulbrich, who spent a lot of time with Dan Quinn, does, and that is create turnovers, punch the ball. There was an emphasis on that back then, and clearly Ulbrich's bringing that in here as well. But this is how you can get away with being undersized in certain areas, by being fast and aggressive and opportunistic.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I think that the peanut punch, as Ulbrich has been calling it, head nod to
named it a peanut Tillman.
Peanut Tillman, yeah,
yeah.
Which I love to hear that. I think it's pretty cool. But you're so right about training camp. You never know what the good takeaway and the bad takeaways. Now Drake London had a couple of drops, a couple of fumbles, whatever it is on Saturday, and somebody's reporting that he throws his helmet and he's so frustrated. And it's like, good. This is what happens in training camp. You can't keep using the moniker that iron sharpens iron without understanding that both sides are going to be frustrated, like Terry just talked about. Dylan and I talked about this yesterday a bunch. You're going to have days where the offense is going to be good. And you know what's going to happen? The defense is going to respond to it with adjustments. They're going to make adjustments. They're going to put a blitz in here. They're going to attack the coverages this way. They're going to understand the flood concepts the offense is trying to run in and make sure they, cover 2 invert or, whatever it may be. Like, they're going to respond that way. And you know what else? After they're done doing that, which is what they did on Saturday, the offense is going to go to the film room on Saturday night. They're going to put new plays in. They're going to have install, and they're going to respond on Sunday. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. Michael Penix comes out, has a much better day. The offense had a much better day, the ball security-wise. And you can expect the defense on Tuesday to probably have a good day as well.
That was what's funny is after reading the takeaways from Saturday's, like, Kirk Cousins looked great. Michael Penix, not so much. If there was a quarterback battle, he might have been in trouble. And then Drake London had an awful day. I read one beat writer's tweet. Drake London has had a terrible day today so far. And then next thing I know, the Falcons put out a highlight video of Drake London catching a one-handed stab. And I was like, well, which one is true? And it was basically because Drake, I think, had a drop and then got a ball knocked out, which
overreaction. If you ask Drake, he probably had a bad day.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Overreaction, posting the video just because it was a catch, because that's what you do. You should post highlights. That's what social media does, mm-hmm. Allie. And then overreaction that it was an awful day. Did Drake think he made it at his best day? Probably not. Drake gave Drake something to think about and improve on or work towards, but that doesn't make either one right. You know, that it was a horrible day, and the one-handed catch was basically what his day was that day either, right? I think both can be true.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and one guy that really appreciates Jeff Ulbrich's aggressive style is Jake Matthews.
I think back to earlier in my career, break out here my second year, was here for a few years, obviously during those playoff runs and the Super Bowl run, and playing against him when he was with the Jets and whatnot, and he's always had a defense that, you know, you look at, you know, game week, hey, this team's going to play hard, they're going to be sound, and they're going to try to get after you. So excited to bring that here, and I think we're trending in the right direction with the way practice is going and the competition and the way guys are kind of chirping at each other.
To me, when you look at the what you've seen on the field and the words that are coming out about Jeff Ulbrich's aggressive style, attacking style of defense, it makes way more sense what they've done this offseason. And, you know, I explained that. And I know that they started off in a 3-4 front on Thursday. They kind of did more 4-3 on Saturday. I think they spent a little bit of time in both yesterday. Over the history of football and the way these things were all incorporated was that a 3-4 style was not an attacking. It was using the offensive line's body or the blocker's bodies and your body to kind of create a fence in front of the offense, right? And so when you look at the loss of Grady Jarrett and Eddie Goldman, who Eddie Goldman was the best you had last year at creating a fence with the offensive player, with the blocker's body and your body at the defensive line, you did not replace those guys. You did not go out and draft guys to replace them. You drafted them 2 years ago with attacking style guys, Brandon Dorlus, Ruka Roro, and it makes a lot more sense when you look at Ulbrich's, the words that are coming out about his defense, what the game plan has been throughout this offense on the defensive front.
So I want you to chime in on this real quick, because I just don't – so many guys that are edge rushers that even in some ways can be traditional 4-3 defensive ends want to stand up, that I think at times we don't want to count them as necessarily an extra defensive end, and we want to say, well, they're kind of, because they're almost in a linebacker type position.
What you're talking about is a 3-4 personnel, but you've just taken an outside linebacker off the ball, so now it's a 4 down front. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, you're taking an edge rusher and standing him up.
Correct. Yeah, I mean,
and almost representing him as, well, what is he?
Yeah.
Is he about to drop in covers, or is he coming?
Right.
Right? Because you don't know.
And that's the presentation that you want to give the other quarterback, right? You don't want the – because that edge rusher that's in a two-point stance, he could be rushing the edge. Or you could simply say, let's just say that you're going against the Chargers and Rashawn Slater's blocking somebody. Maybe you're like, dude, why are we wasting a body on Rashawn Slater? Let's just put this guy out in the flat and have him cover the running back or whoever else
or
is the first read. Yeah, right. So there's a number of different ways to look at it. It's all about what the presentation is you want to give the quarterback.
Sometimes you may have Jalen Walker and James Pierce on the field, and it looks like a 3-4 front, and they're both coming, right?
Love it.
And you're actually sending five people, which would be considered what?
Love it. You ran a 6-1 at times last year with Caden Ellis off the ball. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to pause this convo on Falcons training camp for a minute, because there's so much to cover, a little peek behind the curtain. We've got so many cuts from the guys doing pressers that we haven't gotten to yet. So we're going to continue that next. Plus, we've got a Life of Squid
on
the way. Yes,
it's time for film review with Squid Billy. There's a movie that just came out, and I watched it at home, and that should give a little hint, and we'll give a review of it next. Morning Shift Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with myself, Allie Mack, Mike, and Bo. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing.
What an apropos song to play, because Allie just came back from Vegas, and whenever I hear this song, I always think about The Hangover as they do the shot on the roof, and then the sun goes down, and then the sun comes back up, and like, you know, how they did the time warp thing, and then there's a mattress hanging off of the Caesar statue. Did anybody throw their mattress off the roof of the hotel you stayed at?
Not that I'm aware of yet. You know what's amazing, though, is my Backstreet Hangover is only going to continue because Miss Sandra Golden is going in a week or two.
Whoa.
So she's going to come back with the same review and have the same energy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly. Yeah. BSB.
That's probably what, you know, you're like, it's a lot of Backstreet Boys talk on that sports. There's like a guy that's like, that drives here like every other week. For work or something. He's like, man, them sports talk stations in Atlanta are a little bit different. I'll tell you what, like talking about Backstreet Boys and
I will say this
Hangovers
too,
and stuff.
I usually at this point, I'm up for top five tomorrow. I'm doing top five Tuesday. I'm usually at this point already like I've already known for days what I'm doing for top. I don't have anything for tomorrow. I don't have a top five list for tomorrow. And so I'm going to be spending the next 24 hours trying to come up with a good topic for top five Tuesday tomorrow.
Do you want the best list maker to give you some ideas?
No,
oh,
hold on.
Man.
You just stay out of this for a second.
You've had, no, he's had good ideas. The delivery's been a little bit off, but he's had good ideas.
See,
we had somebody walk up yesterday to him in Fire Branch, start talking trash to him about his cereals.
Yeah, he said, what was it, Berry? Berry should have been on there, Wild Berry Crunch or something like that.
It's a Berry Berry Kicks, probably.
Yeah,
Berry Berry Kicks
was
phenomenal. But that's like, for me, if I was going tomorrow, I would do my top five Ozzy Osbourne songs because he passed away. And it's a little bit of a niche thing, but you know he's that.
I don't think any country singers have gone down for the last couple of weeks, so I'll have to hold out on that one. But
no, and we don't want to manifest that. I would do top five Backstreet Boys songs.
I know you would.
100%.
Top five concerts you've been to, or something like that.
Man.
You know,
well, yeah, we'll see.
We've given you
top
some things
five
to
Adam
think
Sandler
about.
Sandler movies? How about that one?
There's a certain part of this world that just doesn't like Adam Sandler to begin with.
Yeah, it's fine.
Which I
it is what it
is. I tend to question those type of people because it makes me think, well, are you not happy? Because here's my thing about the Adam Sandler movies. They're and we're gonna get to some of that stuff, but they're freeing. It's you tune in for however long the movie is and you just know what you're getting and you can just kind of enjoy it. Like there's nothing serious.
Yeah.
Hang on to your philosophical thoughts on that, because we're going to talk about the Adam Sandler movie.
That's a good point. I'm curious to see people weigh in. Hit us up on the Twitter. Is Adam Sandler a good actor? Just point blank. Is Adam Sandler a good actor? Yes or no? I would be curious to know what people's takes on this are, because I do think there is a divide.
That's not a fair question. And hear me out. Because I only know of, like, three movies he's actually I think acted in. The movies that he had to play a role that wasn't a character he's created. Okay?
Okay. That's,
because Uncut Gems.
Is he a the better question then, is he a good entertainer? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Adam Sandler a good entertainer?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's probably a more fair question.
Because there's a movie, there's Uncut Gems, there's that movie about the basketball player, and then there's a movie called Rain Over Me, and it is about 9/11, and he plays a husband and a dad who lost his family in one of the planes in 9/11.
I don't need to see that.
But I watched it years ago, and it's got I think it's Don Cheadle in it as well, and it's the only movie where at a time that I'd actually seen him act like who wasn't playing a character, like a goofy character he created.
Yeah,
and he was phenomenal in it, like absolutely phenomenal. And so that's why I threw that out there, because I think most of the time he's just playing a character he created. You don't know if he's playing the role right or not, because this is a goofy little character that is out of thin air, like Billy Madison.
Well, and Bo's going to expand upon Adam Sandler's lengthy resume in a moment. He had another movie get released over the weekend, so we'll talk about that in Life of Squid. But we haven't really talked about, with all the Falcons training camp that we have been discussing, the defense, we haven't talked about Kirk Cousins at all today. And we need to bring it up because Arthur and Terry both made sure. I'm about to tell you if you don't ask a question. Because Arthur and Terry both made sure to talk about Kirk Cousins and how great he's been. So let's go with Arthur's. Let's go with Arthur's cut first.
And I'm very proud of Kirk Cousins, too. I want to suggest that because he's handled his transition really well and been very supportive of Michael and really has been a really good teammate. So I'm happy about that, and I'm happy for us, and I'm happy for Kirk as well.
Okay, now let's go ahead and hear Terry's.
It's Kirk's been the ultimate professional, and I know I think Raheem said this, outside it's a lot more of a deal than it is in the building. He shows up, he does his job, just like anybody else. Our job is to do the best for this football team. Our job is to be experts on the other 31 teams and to be an expert on our team and make sure we can build the right 70-man roster, meaning 53 on the active, 16 on the practice squad, and your international player. We got to build the best 70-man roster so we can go win games. That's what we're focused on. And Kirk, just like all the other players, they're focused on coming here and doing their job. That's what he's been doing. So that's where we're focused. And in terms of making moves, whether it's trades or whether it's acquiring players, we're always looking at those factors. We're going to do whatever we can do to make this team as best as it can possibly be. But he's been a great professional. He's handled himself well.
Mike, let me tell you what, I got this 2015 1500 Z71 Chevrolet leather seats.
Here we go. It is phenomenal. I have no idea where this is going.
It's phenomenal. I'm telling you, it still rides. It rides like a 2025. Allie, you rode in it. Tell Mike how good that 2015 Z71 rides.
It was professional. It showed up.
It's doing the job. It's getting you to and from to work.
Never barks at you. Never barks at you.
Check engine light every now and then.
I know.
It'll pop up. But
we know what that's about. Every time in a while, you got to get some treatment for it, right?
No duct tape. Oh, sorry.
I said that. Nah, man. No, we don't keep duct tape on my cars.
No electrical tape.
If they duct tape goes on, they come off pretty quickly. We actually get things fixed around here. But it's selling season, and they want everyone to know. They want it to be on the record from the leaders of this team that the piece they have that they're willing to, get rid of, right?
Part with under circumstances. Yeah,
for the right price. Is running perfectly fine. It's doing everything they need from it, on and off the field, just like that 2015 Z71 I got. WSOS.
So you're trying to tell me that you thought Arthur's words were calculated? That he's putting at a you're putting your quarterback for sale in the want ads, on Craigslist or whatever, and you're saying, hey, this has been the trustiest truck I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Drawing the wheels off this thing. It's gotten me to and from work for 10 years. It's been great. And I got to put it up for sale, unfortunately. I don't want to lose it, but yeah, that's just where I'm at in life.
You're telling me that the owner of the team goes on Saturday and the GM of the team talks on Sunday, and they both make a point to tell you how great and professional and flawlessly working the backup quarterback who they're willing to part with making $30-something million this year is doing with, man, We heard the audio back to back. The wording was very similar.
It sounded the same, didn't it?
I mean, and if Raheem gets up there tomorrow, Tuesday morning, I tell you what, I just want to point out the fact that Kirk Cousins is just looking phenomenal, and he's done this. How's Justin Fields' toe, by the way?
Well, it'll really be something when Michael Penix comes to the podium. He's like, yeah, Kirk's, by the way, I just want to put this out there. Kirk's been great. He's been the constant.
No, but now what we need to do is get like Chris Blair up there. I've been running with Kirk and
James
the second
Pierce,
team.
James
man.
Pierce audio incoming.
Well, because Kirk did pull James Pierce aside for all intents and purposes, but Chris Blair's like, yeah, I know this is off topic, but man, it's been an honor working with Kirk Cousins last 3 days.
It is funny, man, but I thought it was more interesting too because when you hear Arthur say that, Arthur. If you remember back just a few months ago, Kirk Cousins was like, hey, I want a meeting with Arthur. Mm-hmm. I want the one-on-one meeting with Arthur and kind of explaining his point to Arthur that, hey, I'd like to be a starting quarterback somewhere else, and then I felt misled by the team. And Arthur was just straight up like, well, you're going to be here for now. And kind of push that off to the side. So I think it's interesting just hearing from Arthur and just saying, and he said, I want to make sure I suggest that. It was like he couldn't even find the right word. I want to make sure I suggest that. Like, okay, what's the suggestion here, Arthur? You're just saying that you're just heaping on the praise. That's all. I feel good about it. So it is, man. But all that aside, all the, you know, kind of looking into it, I'm happy that that's the way Kirk Cousins is going about his business. And I'm glad he's being a consummate professional and a good teammate. And I think we can all kind of look at that and be happy about that.
You know, it's funny because I kind of said the exact same thing that Arthur and Terry did on Fricky's show Saturday. I was like, well, he should be pointed out. I didn't even realize it. And then I hear this press conference and I'm like, man, people are going to think I'm a plant. Real quick, remember I told you I was doing salmon over the weekend and Amy doesn't really eat it?
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the store and I was like, I'm going to buy like maybe some pre-made burgers or just maybe some chicken or something. I found these Wendy pre-made patties. They're from Wendy's. They're like the exact Wendy's patties.
Square.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know they use 100% real beef.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought them and I was like, well, throw a little W sauce, Baron Burton's W sauce, little seasoning. And then I started thinking about it. Well, these burger patties, probably, you know, they're Wendy's burger patties. So I make me a double stack. So I pulled off my version of a Wendy's double stack last night. It was pretty good, too. No lettuce, though, but I had everything else on it. So it was pretty good. I just didn't have lettuce. All right. I watched Happy Gilmore 2 last night.
How was it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it is exactly what you think it's going to be. It's a fun-loving, goofy movie that is not necessarily realistic because neither is Happy Gilmore 1. I mean, let's be honest. A bad hockey player becomes one of the greatest professional golfers in the world and hits it like way further than everybody because he runs up to it and swings it like a baseball-hockey swing combined.
Yeah.
But
and his golf coach has his hand bitten off by an alligator.
Yeah, and he gets he's allowed to play in boots and a Bruins jersey.
Yeah, let's not stop there. Let's keep going. His number one fan has a nail in his head.
I mean, yeah. Well, hey, Mr. Larson.
Go back to your shanties.
Yeah, but it was good. I thought it was good. Like they had a lot of cameos. It was fun. I mean, it was fun, guys, and that's exactly what that movie's supposed to be. If you're watching it, like. He couldn't have made that putt with that hockey-style putter he's got. I mean, then grow up. You know, if you're, you know, it was a movie and it was fun. And I thoroughly enjoyed it because it was, you know, a new take on an old childhood favorite.
Would you encourage people, if I told you, like, hey, Happy Gilmore is my favorite movie ever, would you encourage people to watch the second one? Because I still haven't, like, Dumb and Dumber was one of my favorite movie ever. I still haven't watched the second one.
I watched.
What I've always been told. Don't do it, man.
I watched, like, 15 minutes of Dumb and Dumber 2, and it was awful, and I just turned it off.
Yeah, but, again, like, that. I think you're making the point that now I'm curious. Like, what did you expect with Dumb and Dumber 2? For them to be dumb? I mean, like, that was kind of the whole point.
No, I expected it to be very similar style humor and, like, kind of close to having the same quality of jokes and ridiculousness. And I felt to an extent, like, in reality, Happy Gilmore 2 to me was just a fresh take on Happy Gilmore. So it was like, it was a sequel straight
up.
It was a sequel straight up. They advanced the timeline, right? Which is what you want because Adam Sandler looks nothing like he did in Happy Gilmore 1. Like, as far as he's aged, you know, like, people age. But I just thought it didn't try to be something it wasn't.
Right.
And it was good. I felt like it was good enough. It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen. No. Best sequel I've ever seen. No.
How many bottles of W sauce does it get?
I'd say three.
Three? Okay.
I mean,
three bottles of W sauce.
I mean,
there you go.
I went into it with expectations of not much. Like, it just don't ruin the original for me, and it didn't.
All right.
Well, it was pretty good for the most part.
Well, I'm going to put it on today, but right now we got to make way for the grand return of Steak Shapiro. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
Stay cool, Atlanta. Stop stealing my line, Dylan. I heard you say that yesterday.